Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Our sermon this morning begins with a poem titled, Heaven's Surprise. A man named Rod Hemphill wrote these words. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, he said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you. In our second lesson this morning, the historic account of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, we see an example of one of the folks in heaven who would make a self-righteous person sputter and gasp. As we consider this Samaritan woman who was living in such a scandalous way that it caused her to be an outcast, even among the outcasts, we are reminded of the way God relentlessly pursues the lost, the rebel, the prodigal, calling every one of us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Long after we would have given up on the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash, our Lord and Savior has only just begun to manifest the infinite, inexhaustible, amazing grace of God in his pursuit to seek and to save that which was lost. Thanks be to God for heaven's surprise. Thanks be to God for the unimaginable truth that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, our Lord's encounter with the Samaritan woman, it's often presented in a way that focuses our attention on our thirst for Christ. Many sermons correctly emphasize the life-changing, life-giving, living water that our Lord offers so freely to this undeserving Samaritan woman and to all the unworthy who seek him. But today, instead of directing our attention toward the way Christ satisfies our deep spiritual thirst, let's consider the only reason any of us thirst for God. Truth is, we thirst for union and communion with God because God thirsts for union and communion with us. Let me say that again. God thirsts for union and communion with us. Evidence of that surprising, miraculous truth is found throughout Holy Scripture. And in our Lord's encounter with the Samaritan woman, we discover his thirst for us to be both human and divine. Consider the way the story begins by emphasizing the fact that Jesus is fully human. Now, the story is found in the Gospel of John, and as you know, this Gospel is often recognized for its unique focus on the divinity of Christ and its beautiful description of him as the divine, pre-existent Word of God who already was in the beginning. But John begins this passage by telling us that Jesus was in the middle of a three-day journey. John tells us that the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity was walking. God was walking from Judea to Galilee. And when he reached Jacob's well, he was wearied from his journey. Not only was the creator of heaven and earth physically exhausted, he was thirsty. So he sat down on the well, and seeing the Samaritan woman, he asked her for a drink. Her creator asks her for a drink. John presents us with this evidence about Christ being fully human to the end that he may boldly proclaim the glorious yet heart-wrenching truth of God's divine plan. You see, the lesser truths that John communicates about Christ's humanity, the fact that our Lord was on this three-day journey that left him tired and thirsty, well, they point to the greatest truth. The truth that the infinite Word of God in human flesh can not only grow tired and thirsty, John wants us to realize that he can suffer, he can bleed, and he can die a human physical death in order to atone for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. This truth that John presents in the story of the Samaritan woman is seen even more clearly in his account of the crucifixion. John quotes the last five words that Jesus spoke from the cross in this order. Jesus said, "I thirst." And he proclaimed, "It is finished." Once again, it is in Jesus' very real human thirst that we see evidence of his humanity. And my Lord's words make me wonder. As he hung there in my place, as he hung there in your place, did he think back on that day in Samaria and a cool drink of water from Jacob's well? As one who in his humanity was like us in every way except sin, Jesus, a dying man, cried out, "I thirst." And again, the evidence of his humanity is followed by the miraculous truth of his divinity. When the incarnate Word of God, the same Word which was spoken at the creation of the world, proclaimed from the cross, "It is finished," the statement was a sovereign declaration by God Almighty that the work of the redemption of mankind was complete. The divine Son of God had assumed human flesh. He lived in perfect obedience from his birth in a manger to his death on the cross. And with his work finished, God raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to his right hand. And now mankind may rest in the blessed assurance that the God-man, Jesus Christ, the only one who can truly sympathize with your every weakness, is the Word eternally spoken on your behalf in heaven. My friends, let's consider our past. Let us humbly confess our faults and turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And like the Samaritan woman and all the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash, let us thank God for heaven's surprise. thank God for the way he loves the lost and the outcast. Thank God that he would freely choose to take on human flesh, human thirst, and human death, to the end that he may manifest the unsearchable depths of his divine thirst for you, his divine love for you, and his divine plan for the redemption of the world. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.
Amen.